men. And if you have any other view of our structuring of jurisprudence in the United States, it doesn't register with reality, my friends. You may think that constitutional law, meaning the words of the Constitution applied to your situation, has some meaning before jurisprudence in America today, but it doesn't. It simply doesn't. We live in a land ruled by men, not by law. The sooner we recognize that, the sooner we can cope with it, first of all, and the sooner we can fix it. Another phrase I came up with in thumbing through Black's Law Dictionary was judge made law. That's a hyphenated expression, judge made law, judge made law, a phrase used to indicate judicial decisions which construe away the meaning of statutes or find meanings in them of the legislature never intended. It is perhaps more commonly used as meaning simply the law established by judicial precedent and decisions. Laws having their source in judicial decisions are as opposed to laws having their source in statutes or administrative regulations. Well, there is not a law in the books, my friend. It's not a judge-made law. Because until the judge wraps his gavel on the legitimacy of the law, it can't be heard in another judge's court. And so that's the way the system works. It isn't. We're not living in a nation ruled by law at all. And the sooner you get that straight, the sooner you'll be able to live a happy life in our present system, and the sooner you and I working together can have just a tiny hope of getting the system changed to the way the founders intended it. I'd like to hear from you. We need your help and support at Truth Radio. Our address is P.O. Box 344. Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. That's P.O. Box 344. Nipomo, 93444. Thank you. With the coming of March, there's a coming of new order for Truth Radio. We have a program change, though I think you'll be interested in. If you've noticed, in the past several months, we've been carrying the Bull Rights Program from the American Voice Network, a rebroadcast, the day after it's heard, or the Friday broadcast heard on Monday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. We allow you to hear Bill Rights, but you can only hear him. You can't participate in his program. Well, now you can. 2 p.m. Pacific Time each day, Monday through Friday, Bill Rights, courtesy of the American Voice Network, will be brought to you live and then repeated the next day at 7 as it was before. So tune in and take part by calling in to the Bulgarian Rights Program every day at 2 p.m. Pacific Time. And keep on benefiting from truthradio.com.
We're going to rise with the sun in the morning. We're going to start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without the love and kindness of the Lord and our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're gonna do the work our Lord puts before us. There's a job that truly needs to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under its thumb.
Hi, welcome back, and this is the Deanne Burley Show, and this is Deanne live. Today's show is going to be about the courts again. There is something interesting happening in the Chicagoland area. I think many of the people out there have seen on the news reports of a U.S. district judge whereby her husband, a lawyer, and her mother were found dead in her home. It was reported that that particular day she was working over in the court and arrived late in her home that evening to find both her husband and her mother's bodies down in the basement of her home. It was stated and alleged that there were 22 caliber shell casings laying on the ground near the corpse, and they found also a bloody shoe print. Now, there are rumors flying around that the murder of this judge, his family, was based on the fact that she was working on one prominent case, but then there's an issue of another. And we're going to have a counter viewpoint on this, and I'm going to give kind of a scenario of what I thought happened based on what some of the things that I've seen. She was involved with a case with an Aryan Nation member. His name was Hale. And he went on trial here for being involved with the people that murdered a black coach in Evanston, Illinois. This group that was formed was allegedly under the Church of the World Church of Christ. And anyway, these people went to trial, and the head of this Aryan Nation basically went to trial in regards to this matter. And the judge on this case happens to be the same one whose family was found murdered. Now, during the case, there was a number of correspondence made to the FBI informant that this Aryan Nation group sought to get this judge killed. Now, the interesting fact on this is that there is a connection between Hale and another gentleman by the name of William Pierce that was a also Aryan Nation member and was noted to be connected with Timothy McVeigh and McNichols. Now, I have a person on my program. His name is John. John has a noted career. He was involved with the FBI and DEA and various other agencies. He was working undercover as a Ku Klux Klan member and knew Timothy McVeigh, and he also knew McNichols and William Pierce. And he's going to give some information on insight of what the Aryan Nation is capable of and his knowledge of Pierce and also Hale. John, are you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Hi, John. I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit about your knowledge from down in Arkansas.
Well, I've worked other places besides Arkansas, but let me correct something right off the bat, if I may.
Yeah.
Okay. Matthew Hale, he had the World Church of the Creator was the name of his church.
Oh, thank you.
The World Church of the Creator. And Timothy James McVeigh, also known as Tim Tuttle, his co-defendant was Terry Nichols. You know, and Terry Nichols was more to blame than Timothy McVeigh was, but that's not the way they made it look to be. The way the things look to be are not always the way they are, as you well know. But I was going to, you know, I was listening to what your commentator had to say, and I was going to make a little statement, if I may, that you might want to elaborate on. One of the judges here in the state of Arkansas, who's a rather famous judge, he said, justice is a joke in America, and anybody that thinks that you're innocent until you're proven guilty has been watching too many soap operas on television. You know, if you think you're innocent, you have to go to court to prove that you're innocent. When I get a hold of you and have the charges against you for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, or whoever I'm assigned to, you're going to have to go to court and darn sure prove that you're innocent, or you're going to go to federal prison for a long, long time, because the laws are, you know, they've got these mandatory sentencing guidelines now, and you're going to go to jail for a long, long time. And it doesn't matter whether you're innocent or not, if you're with certain groups, and they have these groups that are targeted, and you're in those groups and stuff, they're going to be after you, and if you look like you're doing something wrong, they're going to come down on you like flies on a carcass.
Well, let me ask you this. Tell the listeners how you got involved. You were involved to a level you got into the Ku Klux Klan. Is that not correct?
I've been with various organizations. The Invisible Empire, the Knights of Ku Klux Klan, was one of the organizations that I managed to infiltrate, but it took me a very long time to get in there. Timothy James McVeigh, also known as Tim Tuttle, was also in that organization and a card-carrying member. That's one reason that I was able to get his trust, because I had a card and I had a member ID that showed that I was a member in good standing of that organization. And that's why I asked for permission to arrest him when he tried to sell me a rocket launcher. I was not allowed permission to arrest him because he was the patsy on the Oklahoma bombing case. The patsy that they had, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms had before that was a guy named Mike Esch. And Mike Esch was a good patsy, but he didn't work out. The reason he didn't work out is the guy was just way too smart. Okay, Tim McVeigh, what happened? He was in Desert Storm 1. He was a hero. He got a medal over there. He come back. He went to Ranger training, and what they did, they gave him a brand new pair of boots. With a brand new pair of boots, they made him go on a 25-mile forced hike. When he went on this forced hike with full combat gear, 25 miles, he had these huge blisters on his feet. So the deal is, he was programmed to fail the course. So when he failed the course, federal agents asked him if he would consider infiltrating these white supremacy organizations that are starting to get big again because of world terrorism and the world situation and the downfall of the government and the weird laws that government agents are making. They wanted him to infiltrate these organizations. So in other words, he was working both sides of the fence. And the deal is, when he got undercover in these agencies, he started doing some Nazi math that some of these guys were coming up with, and his mind got just really scrambled, but they had already sent him through Operation MK Ultra. If you've seen the movie The Manchurian Candidate, you know what it's about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What they did, they had him programmed, and they had him so programmed that he would be talking to me about manufacturing machine guns, making bombs, whatever, and in the next sentence he'd be talking about he thought he saw some spaceships and space aliens in the Ozarks the night before. And I mean, he wasn't trying to be funny. This was not a joke.
Uh-huh.
And, when you have a recorder on, you're trying to get conversation. That wouldn't look real good in court if you're talking to someone they're talking about seeing space aliens the night before. And with the stuff he was taking, I don't know what he was seeing. I wasn't taking any of the stuff, you know.
Now, on that point alone, you were saying that it was your opinion that he would not have been involved with the bomb situation. It would be more McNichol.
Well, yeah, exactly, Rob, because let me tell you, he told me and showed me some of his bomb making. He was a very bad bomb manufacturer. See, what he did, he was infiltrating the Aryan Nation, the Klan, all these agencies. All these organizations in the United States. And Terry Lynn Nichols, he went down to the Philippines and went to terrorist training camps and bomb training camps that they had down in the Philippines. That's why he ended up bringing back a Filipino wife, even. Because, you know, that's what's unusual for a white supremacist, bring back a Filipino wife. But that was the excuse he had for going down there. He was trained on how to make bombs and stuff, and the bombs that he made actually worked. But what Tim McVeigh did, he held a gun to the guy's head and told him he had to help him mix the ammonium nitrate fertilizer bomb, but it was all a program deal. Terry Lynn Nichols was more the brains of operation than Tim McVeigh was. Terry Lynn Nichols was the real deal. Tim McVeigh was working both sides of the fence and was so screwed up he didn't know which side he was on. Terry Lynn Nichols was a for real deal who wanted to overthrow the United States government, especially because of the gun control laws. And because he thought the New World Order was taking over.
Now, let me ask you on this one. Where did William Pierce come in? Did you meet him, or how did that
I have not met William Pierce, but I've met some of his followers and so forth. But the William Pierce, the National Alliance and the organizations that he with, what they do, they're on the Internet. They put all these hate messages on the Internet saying that the Holocaust didn't happen, that the New World Order is taking over, but they're saying the Holocaust did happen. You see what I'm saying? I've got Jewish friends that were Holocaust survivors and stuff. I know for a fact it happened because I've got friends that I've banged my life on that it happened to. So the deal is they're putting out some real information, some false information. Yeah, there is a new world order. Yeah, there are people trying to take over the whole world. There have been people trying to take over the whole world since Emperor Nero Caesar tried to take over the whole world years ago. There are still people trying to take over the whole world. In fact, William Jefferson Bly, also known as William Jefferson Clinton, he wants to run for Secretary General. He wants to be Secretary General of the United Nations and has told me that. Not recently. He told me that years ago. And also, he and Bush want to get together and try to change the American law to make it where a president can have three terms as president.
Now, let me ask, I want to go back to the thing about McVeigh, though. Now, Pierce and Hale were kind of tied together. Now, if there was a situation, we're going to just talk about this judge here. Now, the whole thing was she was handling a case in Illinois with Hale. And Hale went to jail in regards to it, and she received some incriminating messages stating that basically that there was a possibility that he was going to try to have her assassinated. Now, from what I'm seeing just recently, that there were calls made to her from a correctional facility just prior to this happening. Now, the question is, would the Aryan Nation, in your opinion, be capable of sneaking into a judge's house and, you know, committing such a crime because one of theirs is in? Or do you think it's something else?
Well, hell yeah. But let me tell you, they've got people that go all the chain of command. They've got people in these organizations that are people that can barely read and write. They got people, one of the guys I busted that was a member of the Klan, he had a master's degree in microwave satellite communication.
Mm.
I mean, you've got people that are literally rocket scientists in some of these organizations. I busted one guy that had a 55-gallon barrel of rice and poison in his home. That's enough to kill every man, woman, and child in the state of Arkansas and surrounding area.
Okay, well, we're going to go to commercial, and we'll be right back with Sherman Skolnick of Cloak and Dagger Radio.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer to find out if you've been taken advantage of. Or, if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Jesus told us to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Hence I, Professor Pettibone, will now illustrate this principle by helping George.
Yeah, hello, Professor.
Seeing how busy you are working under your kitchen sink, to be helpful, I brought in your mail.
Yeah, thanks. Could you hand me that wrench?
The one with grease all over it?
Never mind. I'll get it.
Since your hands are so greasy, George, I'll help you by reading your mail for yourself. It looks like you have junk.
Yeah, could you turn on the water?
Oh, hold on. Looks like you have a letter from Pamela. Who's Pamela, George?
My girlfriend.
Who was your girlfriend?
What?
Nothing, George. The rest is junk. Well, there you have it. It is important to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, as I have so clearly illustrated. Haven't I, George?
Yeah, right. Thanks for reading my mail. Could you turn the water on now?
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-52-FUNNY at lifelinepro.com.
We're going to rise with the sun in the morning. We're going to start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without the loving kindness of the Lord and our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're gonna do the work our Lord puts before us. There's a job that you really need to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under its thumb.
Hi, welcome back, and this is Deanne of the Deanne Verrilli Show, and we're talking about a situation that's happened in Chicago, the death of a judge, and we have the renowned Sherman Skolnick of Cloak and Dagger Radio on. Sherman is an activist, a person that everyone needs to have in their town. He was involved with busting a whole lot of corrupt judges in Illinois. And Sherman, how are you?
Fine. I'm honored to be on your program, Deanne. Well, we're going to talk about briefly, within the time limits of radio, of course, is there is a situation pending. There is a new prosecutor in Chicago who is also in the category of special prosecutor, and he has been ordered to inquire how it was that somebody high up in the government, possibly in the White House, unlawfully blew the cover of a deep cover CIA operative using her maiden name, Valerie Plame. She is the wife of a former U.S. ambassador who criticized George W. Bush, that Bush was relying on false information to go after Saddam Hussein. And so they blew the cover of Valerie Plame, his wife, who supervised 70 overseas penetration agencies for the American CIA. And once her cover was blown, these penetration agents who were in countries hostile to the United States, several of them were murdered. And so it became a federal serious criminal offense, as well as treason. And so the prosecutor in Chicago began to inquire into this. And in the midst of that happening, there showed up upstairs in the White House with Bush a member of a escort service, which us plain-spoken people might well call a traveling whorehouse. I hope there's nobody offended by me being very blunt and specific. He was staying upstairs with Bush. He used the name Jeff Gannon, which was not his real name. He apparently was a member since a young age of a teenage male prostitution ring started by Daddy Bush in Omaha, operating through Chicago and through the District of Columbia. And his real name apparently was Johnny Gosch, G-O-S-C-H. Anyway, the matter was being dealt with by the special prosecutor in Chicago. When the thing about Jeff Gannon got into the press, that how a member of an escort service, a traveling whorehouse, was staying upstairs with Bush, Jeff Gannon was then put under subpoena. There was apparently problems in some way with the grand jury and the subpoena, and they consulted a judge in the federal courthouse in Chicago, and this type of thing does not get a docket number or a case number, nor is it in the public record.
Well, what judge was referred?
Apparently it was referred to Judge Joan Lefko, but it's not an open court. If someone were to ask her, are you handling this matter in some way, she would deny it because it's very secret because of the secretive nature of a federal grand jury. But what happened is, were they to pursue the subpoena of Jeff Gannon, alias Gosch, what would come out with that would be a direct indictment of George W. Bush, because Bush apparently gave the documents necessary to blow the cover of Valerie Plame, the deep cover CIA operative, gave those documents to Jeff Gannon, alias Gosch. So there was Bush directly involved in the treason and violation of the severe law, making it a severe penalty for blowing the cover of a deep cover CIA operative.
Now, let me ask you this. Is it your opinion that this murder was related to the Valerie plan?
Absolutely. Fox Network mentioned it one time after the judge came home from court and found her mother, 89-year-old, and her husband, a lawyer, shot multiple times, including through the back of the head, laying dead as corpses in the basement of their house. And for hours and hours, the FBI simply said that they were investigating only a report of death and not a conspiracy and not any foul play. So they denied the thing. And then after hours of doing that, they finally came out and said that the judge's mother and husband had been murdered by being shot. Then the story, the FBI has lied from the beginning. For example, it did come out that the judge had gotten into a very complicated mess involving the head of a white supremacist group, Matt Hale, World Church of the Creator, and that he had threatened to harm her, supposedly, had been convicted of threatening to harm her, and was waiting awaiting sentencing in April of 2005. But he was already locked up before being sentenced in a terrorist section of the federal jail in Chicago, a separate section for terrorists. He was already locked up as a domestic terrorist under a very odd provision of law.
Now, the question is, now, if he was locked up for terrorism, and the fact that that particular group was kind of tied to William Pierce, and William Pierce was tied to the Timothy McVeigh bunch, don't you think there's a tie between all of these three?
But Deanne, the whole thing is misleading. It is not necessary to discuss the white supremacists. I am not an apologist for them, but I must point out the early stories that came out said that her house was under police protection, her house and her person as a judge. Okay, then it came out that on the roof of the house was a closed circuit camera, as well as other places in the house had that. And besides, over and above that, she and the house were under the protection of the U.S. Marshals Security Service. Now, somebody has to explain to me, because there is a contradiction. If the house is under the protection of the U.S. Marshals, and she is under the protection of the U.S. Marshals because of this threat, supposedly, by Matt Hale. She had made a decision against Matt Hale, wherein he lost the legality tax trademark or something of his group, the World Church of the Creator.
Well, what happened was the corporation was shut down because it had similarities in names.
But here's the point. She didn't rule against him. She ruled for him, and a higher appeals court sent the case back to her and says, Judge, you made a mistake, and she was ordered to take away the trademark of his white supremacist group. Now, but let me come back to the main point that is pertinent here within the time limits, because we'll run out of time and we'll leave a very incomplete understanding with the listeners. She and her house was under police and U.S. Marshals protection. Somebody has to explain it to me, because were I to be allowed to be there to question anybody, I would raise the fundamental question, not about Hale. He's locked up. Or the fact that he made a statement wire recorded by an FBI undercover informant, okay? The key thing is here, the judge in her house was under protection both of the Chicago police and the U.S. Marshals Security Service, as well as closed-circuit cameras on the roof and elsewhere in the house. That being so, did they all go away for lunch? How did the assassin, or assassins in the plural, get into the house and kill her mother and her husband when the house was under protection by two different groups?
Well, the thing is, I've been reading just recently an article that's posted, and it says that she basically rejected having as much security, and she didn't feel that she was a threat. And some of her friends that were in the area, they've been writing emails on the internet saying that she continued with her activities, which were, you know, basically going out and shopping and hanging out at night, and did not seem fearful of anything going on. Now, this particular day, they claimed that she was in the courthouse working overtime.
The ad that is a group of misleading stories on the scene after these murders with Homeland Security, and I am the only one that reported about that in a website story that I think is still running on www.rense.com, R-E-N-S-E. It's a two-part series about this, which goes into far more detail than there's time on this radio program. So the point is, there's a series, for example, I happen to know of some network reporters, I'm not going to name them because I don't want to embarrass them or cause them problems, but they recognize that my stories have validity, and they refuse to go on the air and say that the murders were done under the auspices of this white supremacist group. Their boss ordered them to go on the air. They refused and went home instead. Okay? So what we have been confronted with is a series of false stories to explain away the business of the grand jury subpoenaing to Gannon, alias Gosch, which would have directly confronted George W. Bush and named the occupant of the White House. I won't call him president because of the strange way he was installed in the White House, but the point is, that is what the thing is about. The fact that a judge got involved, what they call ex parte, that is not in court, behind the scenes, not in a public record, with the problem of the grand jury subpoenaing the key witness, Gannon, who could finger the president, the occupant of the White House, as the one that that gave the information to Gannon to blow the cover of the Valerie Plame, which was the matter that's pending before several grand juries in Chicago at the hands of the special prosecutor, who today said in so many words that he don't know if he can proceed because he is under threat.
Now, let me ask you a question on this. Now, why was it that her husband and mother were murdered? Do you think it was intended for them to be murdered, or that they were seeking her out?
You're asking a complicated question. I've been a court reformer since 1958. I tend to be very technical rather than philosophic. I'll try to answer it, but please, my answer has got to be considered incomplete. They're trying to put the fear of threat against the federal judges so that no federal judge will do other than what has come to be the dictator of our country. That's how I look at him. I call it Hitler's America. Ordering the judges, because here the grand jury and this one judge had the power to finger George W. Bush as having committed treason, blowing the cover, a serious violation of federal law, of CIA operative Valerie Plame and her 70-member group, some of whom have been murdered by Bush, releasing that information to Gannon. And why did Bush do it? Because Valerie Plame, that's her maiden name, is the wife of Ambassador Joseph C. Wilson, former ambassador, who criticized the president as using false information about Saddam Hussein and so on. And so to get at the ambassador, they fingered the Bush, released this information as a reprisal against former Ambassador Wilson's wife. And that's what the thing is about. This is a red herring situation to bring into the thing the other problem that the judge had with Matt Hale. That is really, in my opinion, is not involved. But the media has been ordered by the White House and the Pentagon and others, the FBI and the CIA, to go with this false story.
Now, I have another thing I wanted to mention to you that I know you heard was reported that seems kind of odd on this timeline of events. But there was a murder also of another judge overseas in Iraq. Happens to be the judge that's going to hear Hussein's case. In addition, Hussein from Turkey was murdered today as well. So those two murders could be
awful. Well, I can answer briefly because we're about to be interrupted by the commercial. The one that got in custody is not the real Saddam Hussein. Saddam's second wife and family have said that that's a double in the custody of the U.S. So the U.S. really does not want to go to trial where it might come out that the U.S. is prosecuting a very good lookalike for Saddam Hussein. That's the problem.
Okay, but why was the judge murdered and why would the lawyer be murdered? Just minutes and days before this thing that happened to the judge here in Illinois.
No, but you're missing the point there. They really don't want the trial against Saddam to proceed because it may well come out that they have in their custody not the real Saddam, but a double. So by killing one of the judges and so on, they're stopping the trial.
So this corruption of murder within the court is going a little bit haywire. This is the third incident. We had one with a situation of conflict of interest with the Illinois court. Now we have murder going on. What's next?
German, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, wait,
I got you offline, the tutor, offline. I just want you to know I appreciate what you're doing, and we welcome you on Truth Radio. This is Richard Palmquist, the guy in charge of Truth Radio. Your information is just terrific.
If you wish personally to read more about it, get on the website, rense.com, R-E-N-S-E. He's got it.
Jeff Renz.
A two-part series, The Gannon Canon, where I go into all the details, which there isn't time on the radio to do it.
Jeremy Floyd has been dealing with this, too, and I appreciate what you're doing. It's a tough row you're hauling, but anyway, you're appreciated. I'll put you back up. Don't talk after this.
Okay,
you're going to be online hot.
Okay. In Renton for Lifeline Communications. If you're a business owner with a big telecom bill, I have some good news. Lifeline has business telecom professionals with many years of experience that can help you reduce your expenses for local, long-distance, internet, and data transfer services. They can put together a custom package suited to your business needs, cut your costs, and allow your company to be used as a tool to help Christian ministry. Over the years, Lifeline has worked with hundreds of businesses nationwide to cut their telecom costs, and they would like the opportunity to do the same for your company. Lifeline has given almost $70 million back to ministry, and much of that came through companies just like yours. It costs nothing to call, and a portion of your payments to Lifeline will be sent to the ministry of your choice.
Go to 1-800-311-2418, and 10% of your long-distance calling will support Truth Radio. That's 1-800-311-2418.
We're going to rise with the sun in the morning. We're going to start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without the love and kindness of the Lord and our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're going to do the work our Lord puts before us. And there's a job that surely needs to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under its thumb.
Hi, it's Deanne again with the Deanne Berwick Show, and we got Sherman Skolnick, and now we're going to do a little, something a little different. We're going to dialogue with Sherman and John, and then we have Mike on. He has a couple of questions, I know. John, what is your opinion of this? Do you feel that it's not related at all?
I think Mr. Skolnick is dead on the money, because I've worked for different federal agencies and so forth, and this Matthew Hale is just a scapegoat. And this is just a ruse. He's the patsy on the deal, and they can go against, they can get gun control, go against Klan, Nazis, all these people that have these agendas and stuff, and use this as a reason. Because the deal is, a lot of times, this reminds me a whole lot of my friend, my dear friend Kathy Ferguson. Her husband, Danny Ferguson, started talking about Trooper Gate, procuring women for William Jefferson Bly, also known as William Jefferson Clinton. Was procuring women for him and doing dirty deals for him. So he starts talking about it. Kathy Ferguson, his estranged wife, a beauty contest winner and a nurse, allegedly, according to Clinton Chronicle, she blows the back of her head off, never owned a firearm in her life, never shot a firearm in her life. But anyway, the Secret Service murdered her and did a very bad job. They took me in the Secret Service office, interrogated me for 5 hours and tried to give me the credit for murdering my friend. I told them, if I hadn't murdered her, she would have took some kind of pills. She was a nurse. She would have took some kind of pills or something. A woman got a right-handed person and used her left hand to blow the back of her head off. So I'm saying a lot of times they make a lot of mistakes. Obviously, Mr. Skolnick has saw through the roofs and the smoke and mirrors that they're putting out and has seen what the New World Order is doing. The Klan and the Nazis and stuff planned to blow up the Oklahoma Federal Building, the World Trade Center, in 1981. They got the Muslims online to help them out. They were failing in their mission. The New World Order took over and made sure that it happened.
Now, the thing is, now, a lot of people don't understand either. A lot of the people within the Aryan Nation and various parties, too, are not knowledgeable of the plots and subplots being used and are being toyed with as being victims, too, in this plot and game of conspiracies. Now, Sherman, I have Mike. Mike, did you have a question for Sherman?
Well, actually, I had a couple of things that I agree with them on, because when I first saw them catch Saddam Hussein in a hole, whatever, and he comes out there looking so disheveled and everything, you really couldn't tell who you really had. But our public is so blind to what's really going on, because they just don't see the whole picture in front of them, and it's done by design. They do this to confuse and to separate. And one of the problems that we have is just what you and I talked about earlier, Deanne, that I felt that they were trying to stop the trial from going on. I didn't think about it in the terms that you did, Sherman, that the body double and the whole bit, but I did feel that there was no way they were going to let anything go on with Saddam, because he's part of the bloodline.
Well, Sherman, I just want you to give a little bit more commentary on what you or your opinion is, the outcome might be on this. The judge's family is now murdered. She is still within the U.S. District Court. She was appointed, by the way, by Jefferson Gerald Clinton into that position. And what do you think is going to happen, the outcome of this?
Can I take a moment here to give an answer where they can get a more complete answer?
Sure.
My two-part series on the Jeff Gannon thing, which implicates George W. Bush himself, which is involved in this double murder, not the white supremacist. Obviously, within the limits of radio, I can't go into all the details here, but I have gone into a lot of details in a two-part story about this. It's on a website for those that can get online, www.rens, R-E-N is a Nelly, S-E, rens.com. Scroll down a ways, and you'll see there's a two-part series called The Gannon Canon, G-A-N-N-O-N, part 1 and 2, and you can read about it. further than that, if you wish to get on my email list, I can tell you how to do that by contacting me as follows, by email. Skolnick, Skolnick, at ameritech.net, and that's AmeriTech. Skolnick, at ameritech.net. Please put in the subject line. We got a lot of emails, but I'll notice it. Put in the subject line, I want to get on your email list, Skolnick at ameritech.net. And if you on RENS, it's currently posted, and it'll probably be there another day or two, the two-part thing about Gannon, and you'll see why to scare Judge Lefko and other federal judges not to assist the grand jury in the subpoena problem of Gannon, who can finger Bush directly, because Gannon, alias Gosh, got the documents, which he later gave to members of the press, but the point is, it was directly from Bush. And Gannon was staying upstairs in the White House. He was a member of a traveling whorehouse escort service, to be more polite. And, I mean, there's a lot of things. For example, Bush is a known homosexual. We went into the details of that in a series on my website, SkolnicksReport.com, and that's after my name, SkolnicksReport.com. There's a series, The Overthrow of the American Republic, fourth part 24, went into it. Remember something, I'm not a philosopher. We deal with things technically. Our group, over a period of 40 years, put quite a number of judges of a high level in jail for bribery. So that's how we do things. Yes, I have been technical here, but that's what I... Now, I ask you, you mean you want to know what I think the outcome is going to be?
Yes.
If they do not succeed in scaring judges, federal judges, so that the grand jury proceedings is stopped in some way, then eventually they will finger Bush. I believe there's going to be a U-turn with Bush, as there was with Nixon 30 years previous. Some of our younger listeners, of course, were not born then and wouldn't know. But Nixon started out very popular and ended up in the doghouse. And that may well be with Bush here, because there is information to show that he committed treason. And the FBI, I would say, is the most likely culprit that assassinated the judge's two family members and then tried to blame it on the white supremacists. I'm not an apologist for the white supremacists, but as your other guest, John, mentioned, they use people like that to divert attention from what's really going on. Now, I've done my best to try to answer your question, but obviously, my answer is probably incomplete.
Well, the thing is that there, I wanted to also the listeners to know, too, this Gannon you're talking about, there's pictures of him all over the Internet. His escort service was through the Internet. He was making calls for escort services out of the White House. And these things going on, it's basically compromises the fabric of our country. We were worried about Lewinsky, but you got a male whore in the White House making calls out to whoever running prostitute rings in the White House. I think that's a problem as well. And then the situation with the judges. As you know, Sherman, a lot of these judges, not only in Illinois, but throughout the country, have been basically compromised. They take bribes. It's worse than it was back when you did your reform back in the 70s. And, the whole issue is that the court structure needs to be changed. We need to really look at what is going in and out of the White House. I mean, this is a monstrosity. And innocent people are being harmed every day in regards to what's going on.
Now, Homeland Security was there involved in investigating what happened to the two family members of the judge.
Well, they were looking for toxic material in there, too, from the first report I got. They were looking for hazardous toxic material in her house.
Right.
And then later on, there were reports that the marshal stated that they were not watching the house anymore because it was felt that they didn't need to have a presence there. That, the judge felt more or less safe in their environment. And the thing is that, who, what, and where is perpetrating these crimes.
Well,
and if it's the FBI, then we need to get a handle on these
things. Well, let me mention something. The head of the witnesses, the Federal Witness Protection Program, has been the U.S. Marshal in Chicago. There's been a trial recently where a gangster was put on trial. And what came out? The head of the Witness Protection Program was in business with this gangster. It's a matter of record. It's not something that I kicked out of the air.
Right, it's conflict of interest. We talked about this before. And even going back to Judge Haldeman, he was doing the same thing.
Basically, to put it in its simplest form, they want to stop the subpoena of the key witness, this whorehouse operative, who got this document in the Valerie Plame situation from George W. Bush himself, which is treason on Bush's part. They want to stop that, and how do you do it? You put the scare into the judges. You killed some members of a judge's family. You blame it onto white supremacists, which are not well understood by people in big cities in particular, who tend to have a more cosmopolitan view of the world, and so on. And that's where it goes. In other words, the government has provocateurs that they do things. And they get it into a situation where they can divert attention and get the blame away from the real culprits. In my judgment, from everything I know about this, this is an FBI operation, a government operation. Why? Because they like to start things, for example, on anniversaries. That's a government trick. And this started on the anniversary of the Waco situation in 93. That was the... This double murder is on that anniversary, and that is a tip-off right there. And the idea, assuming that the police and the marshal's protection was withdrawn, that is another tip-off. Who withdraws a situation? The Secret Service, for example, withdraws when they want to get a president assassinated like they did Kennedy. They withdraw Secret Service protection, creating a vacuum. There was no Secret Service protection at the hairpin turn where the motorcade turned in Dallas on November 22nd, 63. It's called a security vacuum. And so when they say, well, we withdrew the protection of the Marshal Service and the police, come on. Then they lead you to believe that the judge herself withdrew the protection. I don't buy any of it. I don't.
Well, there's somebody that also has some information on that I'm having on my program soon that was knowledgeable of what happened on that day, and it wasn't just one bullet that came from one direction.
Right.
So I would thank you again, Sherman, for coming on my program. John, thank you very much. You're going to be on again next week. I want the people to know about your story and your plight, how your son is locked up in federal prison on a charge.
I wish he was in federal prison, state prison.
Oh, state prison.
Yeah, I wish he was a lot better.
Yeah, in charge with murder with no body, no crime scene, nothing. And he's been in prison, and nobody will do anything within your state. Now, there was a very brave reporter, Dwayne Graham, that was Fox News down there, that attempted to get the story out, and he was basically ostracized. We're going to talk about that next week. And Mike, thanks for helping.
And can I ask Sherman something real quick?
Well, we're getting ready to come off the program.
Okay, well, if you can hold on for him a few minutes, I'd love to talk to him.
Okay, well, thank you for tuning in. And
by the way,
go to my website, dnburley.com, dnburley.com for archives. Thanks. Good night.
When I have these talks with you on behalf of one of our sponsors, I ask you to try a product or a service. Well, this time it's different. Let me climb over on your side of the fence, the microphone. I mean, your computer speakers. Well, imagine I'm sitting next to you. Are you having financial problems? Do you want to step out of your working day job? These questions hit home.
Hi, is everybody still there? Hello?
Hi, I'm here.
John, are you there? John?
I don't hear him.
Sure.
I'm here. Oh, you're here?
Quickly, tell me what you want to tell
me. My question is, if they can't straighten this mess out because somebody's just too damn honest, do you think they'll take Gannon out?
They're trying to force the special prosecutor out.
Right, but if they can't get that somebody is willing to stand up like you or Deanne with what you're doing,